Welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome Joni Casey to our podcast. Joni serves as the President and CEO of the Intermodal Association of North America, or IANA, by which it is commonly referred to. IANA is a national trade association that advocates the interests of intermodal freight transportation providers, suppliers, and customers. Among Joni's many accomplishments at IANA, she has led the development of intermodal technology information services for the industry, focused on facilitating business efficiencies and increasing productivity. She has also overseen the tripling of IANA's corporate membership, reflecting the expansion of the intermodal industry. Joni is a 30-year veteran of the transportation industry, having been employed for most of that time in the Washington, D.C. area by trade associations representing motor carriers, 3PLs, and intermodal operators. Joni began her career as an economist for the American Trucking Associations and was the first executive director of the Intermodal Conference of ATA before leaving to become the CEO of the Transportation Intermediators Association. Joni joined IANA as its president and CEO in 1997. Hey, Joni, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, it's really great to have you on. Joni, and speaking of that, we are having you on at a pretty busy time for all things freight transportation, supply chain, and logistics. And intermodal certainly sits amid all of that, given the myriad modes it participates in and the type of members that you have. So with that as a starting point, Joni, I thought it might be good if you could just tell our audience a little bit more about IANA, just in terms of whom its membership is comprised of, when sort of what the organization's key missions and objectives are, if you will.
Sure, I'd be happy to. We actually were the result of a merger of three other organizations back in 1991. And in fact, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year.
Oh, great.
And we'll hopefully you'll hear more about that at our Intermodal Expo that's coming up in September, 12th through 14th in Long Beach. So the three organizations that merged were the Intermodal Marketing Association, the National Railroad Intermodal Association, and the Intermodal Transportation Association. The mission of our combined group is to really promote the growth of intermodal freight transportation. And we do that on a three-pillared mission through innovation, education, and dialogue. So all of the activities that we undertake are pegged to those three pillars. The membership is comprised of five stakeholder groups, as I think you had mentioned. We've got a rail division, a motor carrier division, a marine division, a supplier division, which are basically leasing companies, technologies, anyone that is providing goods and services to the carriers, if you will, and then a 3PL division that is primarily comprised of the intermodal marketing companies. We also have an associate division. We don't want to leave anyone off of the table. So
right.
The associate division is our non-voting members comprised of shippers and BCOs, the public sector, government agencies, and academic institutions, a lot of which are participants in IANA's scholarship program that I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about later.
Okay, great. So when we look at sort of how things are going in the market now, Joni, and I guess what I mean by that is sort of the current state of intermodal, basically on a year to date, now that we have 6+ months worth of data, and also sort of how we would assess things now compared to a year ago at this time. Obviously, these are really unique, different, unprecedented times. We could probably fill up the podcast with this question alone, I bet. But how do you sort of see where things stand and where things stand compared to last year at this time?
Sure. And the timing of this podcast is on target because we just got our June numbers last week. So in terms of year to date, everything is still strong, even despite the comparisons. When you throw out statistics, you always have to look at what it was like a year ago. And everything had started to really accelerate in June of 2020. So the comparisons and growth numbers are still very strong. Our intermodal trailers were up a little over 19% year to date. domestic containers 10%, and the international close to 20%. That compares to June. That's showing a little bit of a slow up, again, mainly because of the comparisons to the strong acceleration that occurred mid-year of last year. Trailers are off about 3%. I think that that can be explained mainly because of the really unexpected surge in trailers that occurred last year. Automobile manufacturers opening back up and taking up a lot of that slack with trailers. E-commerce also taking up slack in trailers. Domestic containers in June, a little over 1% growth. And that, again, is reflected of how the acceleration occurred in the middle to end of last year. And the internationals, still very strong, a little over 25% growth in June. So all things considered, trend lines are still trending upward. A lot of the international obviously is being driven by the continuing import growth that we're seeing. The domestic is slowed up a little bit because of some of the congestion issues, but you'll see that pipeline opening back up, I think, over the course of the next 3 or 4 months. And we actually just see continued growth, if you will, in segments, probably all but the trailer segment for the rest of this year.
Okay. Okay. Great.
We've started to slow up, as I said, in a few areas, but certainly still continuing to see increases.
Yeah. No question about it. The volumes do look to be largely pointing in the right direction. But coupled with that come some challenges too, as we've seen some are newer, some have been more longer lasting. And when those things I'm referring to are just sort of things like port congestion. I know there have been reports coming out of ports, especially the West Coast ones, that has been easing over at Long Beach and in LA, that is. A lack of empty containers remains an issue. And there's been reports of chassis supply issues as well. And last but certainly not least, the ongoing narrative of the driver shortage. We don't have to stick to those, of course, but I'm just wondering if I could get sort of your assessment on some of those things that and what's happening with them as it relates to intermodal operations.
All on point, Jeff. And I think that the point to keep in mind is that the current challenges are a direct result of the pandemic and the impact on the economy. It's not going to work off, if you will, in the short term. We've had unprecedented freight volumes following the bottoming out of the traffic through middle of 2019 and a little bit later.
Yes.
And no one could have anticipated or planned for the growth in freight and cargo shipments that we've seen in the last year plus. All the components of the intermodal supply chain have been impacted: ocean, marine terminals, railroads, truckers, and the inland facilities. There's no stone left unturned in terms of people trying to deal with many challenges and issues. I think that you're seeing some ancillary issues cranking up right now too. You had the COVID outbreak in Yantan that created bottlenecks in Asia that are now starting to unwind and hitting the West Coast. And you mentioned yourself, we have equipment issues. The relocation of both containers and chassis has been an issue in high volume instances. And it's just making sure we can get the right equipment to the right place at the right time. And again, with the volumes that everyone's dealing with, it's just a real difficult situation right now that everyone is doing their best to try to remediate.
Yeah, absolutely. And the numbers tell a pretty good story despite some of these challenges, that things are still on point to a large degree. I just want to step back for a second, Joni, just about the ISO numbers. I know you said they were up over 25%. Was that for June or year to date? I can't remember.
That was June. They're at a little under 20% year to date, but June came in 25.2% increase.
Well, how do those numbers, how do they match up compared to, say pre-pandemic times? Would they be halves, for example, or would it be in the high teens? I know a lot of that depends on what's going on with demand and in other economic indicators, but it seems very high, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're looking at the 10th consecutive month with growth, particularly in that segment. So they're higher than what they were back in the 2018s, 2019s for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and nobody really knows exactly how long it will take to work through all these imports, given sort of the things about the going on at the ports that we had touched upon. But one thing that never really stops is peak season. And most people I talk to, you know, it depends on who you talk to, I guess, and what mode they're in, what line of logistics business they're in. But everyone seems to agree that in some cases, it's been sort of like an ongoing peak season going back to March 2020, given the state of elevated demand and overloaded delivery networks. That was really true on the obviously for the UPS and FedEx networks, delivery networks. But I'm just more interested in learning a bit from you about more sort of the traditional fall peak. What are you seeing at this point? I know in the coming weeks, things are sure to get even crazier when peak really gets into full swing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to note that really over the last 5 years, we've started to see kind of a flattening of peak.
Okay.
And we had been reporting on that. The extremes weren't as great as they used to be. And we considered that kind of a maturing of the product, if you will, and people really keeping constant volumes into the pipeline. What you're going to see this year is peak going consistently through with the increased volumes. And I doubt whether you're going to see a traditional spike in the volume charts as we used to see, because we really hadn't been seeing it over the last 5 years. You're just going to continue to see the rise of volumes as we go forward. Again, hate to keep mentioning the comparison issue, but a lot of folks lose sight of the fact that when you're comparing really high volumes and you see things that are apparently lower and slowing down, it doesn't mean that you're not still growing. You're just not growing as fast as you had been.
Yeah.
But we're looking for, 14%+ in July overall.
Okay.
In terms of volumes, probably around 8-10% in August and continuing probably a little bit slower in September, maybe around 3-5%.
Okay.
Based on everything that we're looking at. So again, continued growth, but just not at the pace that we had been seeing over the last 14 months.
Okay. Got it. Another thing that's been pretty prevalent of late, obviously, has been a lot of the chatter in regards to the need for a new national transportation infrastructure plan, new reauthorization. Current one got extended, the FAST Act got extended a year ago through the end of this year's fiscal year. So come September 30th, we're going to be in the same situation all over again, unless they can get it together down at Capitol Hill and get a new long-term plan in place. I'm just wondering, with that as sort of a backdrop, Joni, what your thoughts are on it as it relates to sort of the needs of your membership. How can it benefit your over-the-road members, your ocean-based members? What needs to be in it for them, if you will?
Sure, of course, and there's absolutely no doubt that we need a robust infrastructure package that recognizes freight. Take whichever package of the day, if you will,
sure.
Depending on who's getting the airtime in the trade press as well as on TV, but. IANA's main policy platform for infrastructure investment is, first and foremost, we need to get funding for projects at the marine side. A lot of our port members certainly are counting on that and have used the infra program, which is a piece of the package that's being contemplated. To expand facilities and certainly this latest volume traffic surges have shown the need for additional acreage as well as capacity at the marine terminals.
Mm-hmm.
Highways are no different. If you read the various reports showing the congestion level in the U.S., we are impacted by that because intermodal travels on trains and on water, but you still have the last mile ingress egress, where the freight has to be delivered to the distribution centers and or the customers. So certainly highway investment in deteriorating facilities is a must. One of our main points of emphasis are the intermodal connectors. It's a terminology that's been used in other reauthorization bills, mm-hmm. but it's that last couple blocks or half a mile getting in and out of facilities. And if you don't have fluid intermodal connectors, then the congestion in the terminals starts prior to entering the gates. So you have to have investment in those components of infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so certainly we're pushing for a robust, as I said, bill that has a recognition of the importance of freight first and foremost. Part of that would be having some kind of advocate within the Department of Transportation, which we don't have any longer. There used to be what they were calling an intermodal czar years ago.
Yeah.
And that position, I think, was rolled into some other department. But certainly a freight-focused Department of Transportation is a must for anyone that's involved in the supply chain. And we're advocating for that as well.
Okay, great. And just a couple more quick ones here, Joni. You know, there's been some discussion, and just sometimes when I just am interviewing sources or doing some research on my own, a lot of people have raised the point of, for real, I know this has been talked about for years, but really getting serious about establishing more of a North America supply chain, North American-based supply chain, a domestic supply chain, reshoring, whatever you want to call it. It seems like if it could happen and come to fruition, there would be some notable benefits. I'm thinking along the lines of decreased, maybe lower transit times, maybe a lessening of port congestion, stuff like that. What's your take on that as it relates to intermodal? Do you think something like that has legs or potential?
You know, I think until and if the consuming public changes their buying patterns, Asia will remain the primary source of our imports. We certainly have capacity for nearshoring in the U.S., whether it's Canadian, Mexican, and cross-border, and we look at that. And in fact, if our stats track the cross-border traffic, and that ebbs and flows, but you know, there's a desire, I think, to really commit to the nearshoring. And in order to do that, I think there has to be different economic plans to incent the manufacturing groups to change their habits, if you will. But IANA also tracks transloads, which are a reflection of some of the nearshoring. And they've been pretty consistent over the years. We haven't seen a lot of acceleration in the transloading data that we collect. That probably would be an initial sign whether or not there's going to be a more nearshoring, particularly North American.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And just to wrap up, Joni, now you can't help but notice, and I referred to it a few minutes ago, just with the sort of the overloading of the UPS and FedEx delivery networks, especially at the outset of COVID more than a year ago. But how do you view just how much e-commerce has impacted intermodal, I guess, from both a volume perspective and also just a cumulative perspective? Obviously, we've all been buying and ordering goods online for some time. But I mean, this is really at a level which is, again, there's that word, unprecedented. But I'm just sort of curious as to what it means for your membership and as well as the numbers that we see from you guys.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we get another stimulus package, that'll probably accelerate again. I mean, people sat at home and bought things versus services. So that certainly is what's driven the e-commerce numbers over the last 12 months. The inventory to sales ratio is the lowest it's been in almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's certainly driving e-commerce. It's been an opportunity for intermodal to shine, I think. And if you look at the trailer numbers, for example, they were picking up a lot of slack in the e-commerce volume surges. And we'll see whether or not the increase continues. Obviously, if we get another, as I said, stimulus type bill, that's probably going to take another jump.
Okay.
And given the fact that trailers are down a little bit, it looks like there's capacity there to handle that again, as we did in the run-up last year. You always see e-commerce taking a bigger seat in the last half of the year,
mm-hmm.
towards the holidays. But again, as we had talked about previously, you're not going to see quite the distinction. I think you're just going to continue to see steady increases.
Okay.
And one hint in terms of e-commerce growth would be if those trailer numbers start picking up again.
Okay. Yeah. So the trailer growth, so the sort of the lower trailer numbers that we're seeing year to date and for June, so that's not necessarily, are you saying that that's not necessarily a byproduct of tight over the road capacity, or is that part of it?
No, that's part of it.
Okay.
That's clearly part of it.
Okay. That's right.
You talked previously about driver issues too.
Of course.
Didn't comment, but certainly that's reflective of the over the road driver issues as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, Joni, this brings us to the end of our allotted time for today's podcast. So on behalf of both Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to offer up a big thank you for spending some time with us today.
Hey, it's been our pleasure. We enjoy the relationship with the magazine and with you, Jeff, and hopefully we'll see you in Long Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so, too. And I wanted just to let our audience know that the Intermodal Association of North America is on Twitter. So if you want to give them a follow, that'd be great. It's simply @Intermodal. And we at Logistics Management are also still on Twitter, and that's simply @LogisticsMGMT. And please feel free to subscribe, sign up for our podcast wherever you get them. Just search for Supply Chain 24/7 and it will come right up. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening in. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.